I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, Sword Art Alicization War of Underworld fans? We are talking episode 10, Stacia, the goddess of creation. And I have special guests with me, none other than Uncle. I don't know, such a fun Williams, Mark Holy himself. Welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Chilling. I'm in outer space right now. I'm currently above orbit. The Earth looks nice.
It's not. Well, you got the you got your blue. Bercoli wears blue. You know, it's all that.
I wanted to get like a battle kimono for it and a sword, but the stores were closed, so I was not able to fashion anything.
Yeah.
To represent him, you know, correctly.
Well, it's head and spirit. we do have a live chat going, so welcome everybody who's joining us live.
What's Please- up?
Write your questions for Imari and we'll get them going. And we're going to talk about the episode and as well as just like cool tips and tricks of the trade of voice acting. So this episode was so much fun. I'll nitpick a couple things, but you know, as a fan who loves it. So first off, we get the Asana has joined the world. It's a super user account. How convenient. So essentially a goddess. But I do like that the power isn't necessarily unlimited. You know, she can only use it in small doses. So that's nice of like not.
It's always funny, like with great power, you always have a little bit of limit. It's not fun if you don't have any kind of like, you know, if you can just like, you know, blow up the whole entire world, then what's to stop you from just like ending the series right then and there, you know, like, bam, you know.
It'd be like, okay, that's boring, but so I like that. So she can do some, but the fact that she can alter essentially the landscape literally was really darn cool.
Yeah.
And then we get the cutie patooties, Tisei and Ronnie, who essentially greet her and are like, oh my gosh, you're the goddess. And she's like, not quite.
I know. They kind of get a little awestruck. They're like, yes, queen. And she's like, no, not yet.
And then I do like, though, that Asana right away is like, yeah, I'm from the real world. I'm like, oh, girl, you can't lead with that. They're not. So that was just super funny. And they go, oh, Kirito. And she's like, yes, take me there. And it's like, oh, we get the reunion we've been waiting for so long. Yeah. And it's like, oh, what do you think when Kirito, like, cries and when Asana hugs him finally?
You want to know what's funny? Because I came in, like, I'm going to make a straight admission. I've been like catching up on Sword Art, so I didn't really know their full history yet. So everything's kind of like brand new to me with that. So when we're recording, Alex Von David, voice director, writer extraordinaire for the series, kind of tuned me in on what was going on. And I've had a chance to kind of catch up and do my research as well. But like he was talking about, like these two girls are like, you know, in love with him and are struggling, and one has sacrificed. Or they have, one has history and another one has kind of like gone against her programming and has essentially fallen in love with Kirito. So, you know, you have those two dichotomies who are equally strong. So of course, you know, my thoughts are like, damn, Kirito, what are you going to do, man? You got these two powerful queens. And not only that, he has a little fan club going on. Homeboy has like the woman.
We're going to get to that. And I'm actually really glad you said that Alice loves him, because I talked about that in a previous episode. Yeah. A couple of the fans are like, no, she doesn't love him. And I'm like,
no.
Might not be like date romantic, but it is a partnership love for sure.
I think it's full on, you're mine and I want you. And I want that. That's how I feel. I mean, we can discuss a little bit later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, he cries. He almost speaks. So it's so nice and emotional.
Right.
And Alice is like trying to explain where she's from, but okay, wait, let's solve this problem. Just take me to that who's ever in charge and we will just say it once, which makes sense. Like, I don't want to have to say this a million different times.
Right.
We got Chandler in the chat says, Asana, so humble. She's humble, but she does not let anybody push her around, which we'll get to with her a moment with Alice.
What chat are you on? How can I see the chat? Can I see the chat at all?
If you go on YouTube, yeah. It's on the playlist for Sword Art Online.
Oh my God. Why didn't I do that before we came on this thing? My bad. I'm
and so I will relay the comments to you. Okay, we got the losers team says they haven't watched the episode in dub yet, but watched it like 8 times in subversion. You know, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because this was a really interesting episode because I've been watching the sub and dub. And this one, I really liked the dubbing, making the explanation of a lot of the technical stuff shortened and more colloquial.
Right.
And some of it, I think, translated better for the English. So good job, Alex. The one moment was later when Asana has a flashback to like, hey, what do I do and everything. And she remembers when she was hugging Kirito. In the English version, he says, you know what to do. But I didn't really get that vibe as much when I watched it in Japanese. And so I kind of was wondering what he meant. So I liked that moment better in English. So it's interesting when those moments change. And then we got Oathkeeper says the Stacey account, like the next two, have limits, alter landscape, but worse headaches. Yeah. Well, you know, headaches are not so bad, but the fact that it could mess up with your fluck light, it's a hard word to say.
It's one of those stumbling. Sorry, I was trying to get my. I almost played the music on this thing. I almost messed up our entire broadcast because I didn't unmute the YouTube, but I found our live chat. Sorry about that.
So everybody, he can see your chat. So make sure you get those questions going. So I love when Asana goes outside and Alice right away attacks her.
Yeah. She's like, who the hell are you, man? Like, get away from my man right now. Yeah. But she's so programmed right now to defend. So can you really blame her? You know what I'm saying? Like, she doesn't know what's what. She just dropped like a big old like magical charm, you know, over these hordes. They're all coming from every angle. So she's like, she's in ultra guard mode, you know. She's gonna protect she's gonna protect him at all costs.
And with everything that's been going on, Alice is rightfully in that position of being very suspicious about anybody new showing up or says that Asana could be a, like an imposter, it could be a spy from the enemy camp or some kind of imposter person. And they get their awesome fight. And I'll admit, obviously, I was like, chick fight.
Yeah.
But it was a cool fight. And I think Broccoli liked it too, because he admires it. And essentially, he's like, oh, it's two beautiful flowers. How is that line and that commentary for you for that moment?
Oh my God. You know, it's so funny. Alex and I, when we go in there, He designed it so that Broccoli can speak really deliberately and very, very like steady. You know, he's very sure. He's one of the oldest knights around there. You know, he has there's other stuff that will kind of develop, but he has, he's old and he's very wise. And he knows the world probably more than anyone does that's on that world right now, of Underworld. Or like in the world that where they exist in both planes. So. When Alex wrote him, he was like, you know, we go over several takes because I'm actually a hyper person, and like I'm very like a little ADD, and I like to, like, you know, I speak, you know, really fast, and I think very fast. So with him, you know, I had to kind of like really, really slow him down, and he has to be very deliberate, and you know, he's very sure of himself, and he's very, so we went over that several times because, you know, why was he so enamored with their fight? You know, what did he admire about it? I think Broccoli loves a strong female, quite honestly. I think he loves grace, and I think he loves like a strength. And I think he knew right off the bat, you know, number one, Asana saved his butt. You know, he was basically preparing to say goodbye. He was like, all right, I'm gonna sacrifice myself for the greater good. Let's do it in true hot uncle Broccoli fashion. And here comes Asana, who just, you know, basically opens up the entire world and swallows him whole. So he's just like, oh, well, that's very hot. Then you think, I think he's a little attracted by that. And he was also, you know, very intrigued. I think he knows he's not from here. But then he's also extremely proud of Alice because that's his girl. And he knows what she can do. I mean, he even said last season that she's probably stronger than he is. And she doesn't really, I think out of respect, she's never tested that. but he knows what she wills as well. So he's seeing both these two dynamic people, boom, going at it. And they're just, and both of the girls honestly are holding back. Let's be real. It was a little like, you know, they're testing each other out. There was no, like, if they really want to go for it, they would have, there would be blood drawn, and Broccoli wouldn't have been able to just go, ha, like, you know, with his hand and stop, like, you know, this crazy thing. You know, they're getting out their frustrations, you know?
Well, also there was some moment in a previous episode where Broccoli notices that Kirito is more sealed than he appears to be. So I think the character, your character is just extremely intelligent, intuitive, and I like that he doesn't have the that's impossible mindset. Right. He has why not? Why that could totally be a possibility.
Exactly.
It makes him better at assessing situations and reacting accordingly instead of, oh, I can't do anything because that doesn't make sense, you know?
Exactly. No, he's going to be the guy who's like, you know, like as I said before, like he's one of the oldest, beings on that planet.
Yeah.
So he's seen so many things, and he's come to a bunch of realizations. He's realized that his whole plan of existence has been a lie, essentially. Last season, he's like, what, you know, with the Pontifex and with that whole thing. And now he's realizing that everything is sort of like not as it seems.
Yeah.
And here comes another piece of the puzzle, you know, claiming that she's from this other place. And he's like, well, now it actually makes sense. Like, you know, how was Alice able to break free of her essential programming and go against her main mission as the knight, you know, exploding her eye. And, you know, he knows all this, and he knows that there must be a reason how this is all able to happen. So I think he sees her and he says, oh, okay, now this is interesting. So, you know, what else can we find out? And I think he immediately knows who she is right when she comes.
Quick shout out back to some of the people in the chat. They're saying Oathkeeper says Alice, the caretaker older sister we all know.
Yep.
Natsu said, I love this episode. Alice the knight, the hot uncle, and the goddess Stacia Asana finally meet. I love Broccoli stopping with the two hands. It was amazing. Yeah, that was a really fun power move.
And it was funny because when Alex and I did it, he was like, don't do it too much because, you know, you're confident in your ability. And he said just enough. So we worked on several, there's like, if you notice it goes right like with the thing of the sword. And this is what Alex is really cool. Alex really loves to play like on where where the energy is going to kind of happen. And he doesn't want the words to be like, you know, muted when it happens. So it kind of blends in with the action of it, you know what I'm saying? And so it was just the right amount of effort on Broccoli's part, I felt. And so we actually recorded that, I think you can say, you can like correct me if I'm wrong, I think like four times or so. We like were like, I was like, huh. Like at first I was like, huh, like, but it was like a little bit too much, you know what I'm saying? I had to like kind of do different huhs.
Did you do a physical motion when you did it and you're like, huh?
Yeah. Whenever I act, like whenever like I do VO and we're doing something like that, I like to put myself in it, you know, like I like to some people can just like kind of like see it, but I just really like to just kind of act it out a little bit when I'm like in the
booth. Yeah,
you know, it's fun.
Chandler says Alice suspicious if anyone unknown getting close to Kirito, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Looks like Coco is excited to hear that wrote Imari.
What's up with the Coco? Wait, let me see.
Looks like Coco.
Let's see. Hold on.
And Chandler says Broccoli definitely loves strong women shacking up with Fanatio. Good one.
I know. And he likes his drink too. This episode, he's like, give me drink. And
yeah, and the lady can have tea. Yeah.
Ladies have tea. I'm going to have some drink.
I was going to say, speaking of ladies, then this moment was a little bit like, okay, girls. And I'm saying girls because they're acting like children.
Right.
Austin and Alice. He's mine. No, he's mine. It's like, girls.
I mean, can you blame him? I mean, look, you have the old flame, right? Who's been pining, right? And obviously she holds something to him. Because he cries automatically when he sees her. It was almost enough to bring him out of his coma. I kind of know. I kind of know, like, you know, he's not going to get out of it. But at that moment, when I was watching myself, I was like, oh, is he going to, did Alex, like, not tell me? Like, is he going to, like, is he going to snap out of it or something? Like, I didn't know. It was a powerful enough for him to cry. So she's definitely something to him, you know. But then again, that's the past and this is the present. So, you know.
Well, not that long ago.
Well, not that long, but what's the age and, like, what's been 6 months in their time frame? Right. And Alice, and they've been together. She's been feeding him, clothing him, bathing him, freaking, like,
oh, yeah.
You know,
like, no, that was the next moment later when they get the, so later when they meet her at the tent of, oh, well, how long have you been? Tell me your stories. Right. Which, actually, put a pause on that because that's in a minute, but I wanted to get into that.
I didn't mean to jump ahead.
No, that's it. It was such a fun moment, which was very entertaining. So yeah, I liked Austin explaining the real world to the leaders. Cause I mean, to them, their world's real too. And yeah, I like that moment. So, Bercoli very quickly believes her and goes with it. So for you as the actor, what kind of intention do you have in mind? Cause you know, it's a fantasy character telling you something. So how do you go into it and be like, okay, how do I convey, I believe this person?
I think Alex right off the bat was like, you know, kind of laid the whole scenario in front of me. It was like, listen, you know, here's this little piece of the puzzle. And I think Bercoli's intrigued and wants to hear her out immediately. That's why he says, let's get everyone together so mm-hmm. that he doesn't have to relay this and they can hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Yeah.
And she can also explain herself and who she is. So I think, like, he's playing it cool, but I also think that he's also getting his information as well. And he knows what's about to come. He's gonna blow his mind. That's why he has to get, like, a little tank before he does. He's like, you know, let me get my drink in my body. Let's talk this out. But in true hot Uncle Bercoli fashion, you know, he doesn't let you see him sweat. You know, he'll because he is the general and he is in charge of all these people. So he wants to make sure that everyone understands that. Not only the ramifications of what's to come, but what they're dealing with as a whole, you know, which can also help the other knights as well kind of lay perspective of what they're actually battling is too.
Yeah. That's also when Asana explains, okay, they want, who do they want? Because Poli says, okay, well then who do they want? And they want Alice. And then I like his immediate jump. Oh yes, that's Priestess of Light. Makes sense. He puts all the puzzle pieces together.
Exactly. Which is like Vecta appears, right? Well, do you want to get to Vecta, or are we saving that for later? Like
what?
Well, he's like, he knows Vecta. Oh, okay. He knows Vecta just all of a sudden appeared, right? That was like something that happened, right? And he's like, well, how come all of a sudden Vecta's on the map? And like, what is the purpose of all this stuff? So I think at that point, that was sort of like the big giant symbol, boom, like illuminating in his head, so to speak.
Then it's nice too, because then they get more into, well, how do you break the seal, the right eye, and explain it and everything. But actually, you know, the way Bercoli talks about it, I was like, wait, has he done that? Because he seemed to be very familiar with how it works.
You know, it's funny. Alex explained it to me too, and it made sense to me, right? Because he said, like, when he battled, oh my God, I'm having a brain fart. The last battle he had, Kirito's friend. Oh, I'm having a brain fart. Yeah, when they were battling, he knew there was something special about him. Number one, that he knew that he fought differently. He had a whole different style. He was like, he just had a maturity that Bercoli had to manifest over like his hundreds of years of living on that world, right?
Right.
He knew this boy was special and was from somewhere else, or you know, some other like, you know, faucet. So I think that, like, he at that point questioned his actual reality. And then, of course, you know, after everything went down with the Pontifex and everything, he knows that his reality was not what it was. So I think that, like, at that point in time, he started thinking about maybe the past, and I think he kind of put it all together. I mean, I'm pretty sure. Because it seems to me that he had his doubts in his head anyway, even though he feel like he didn't, you know what I'm saying? I think that he's had questions about what he had to do and questions about his past too. which was kind of laid like, oh, I know who you are. Yeah. Da, da, da. You've done this. And he's like, what are you talking about, kid? You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden he's like, okay. So I think he kind of put together. I think he's always tried to rebel against the system, but he's been put in line. That's who he is. I think he is a strong-willed being. And I think every strong-willed being has a potential to want to question the system. So I think that, like, I think he's had those issues where he's like, man, I hate what I'm doing right now. And maybe he's had that pain. And now he's like, that makes sense. You know, there's the pain right where Alice's eye exploded. And so I think he just kind of put together and was like, okay, yeah. That's you know, that's what it is. It's that initial blocking from us rebelling against what our nature is.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, totally. And I like that he asked Asana, oh, do you have this in your world? And she's like, no, we follow the rules differently.
Yeah, like, you know, we're not yoked by behind our eye. We don't have a, you know.
Yeah. And then that moment of him asking, well, then what's the big difference? And I do like that she doesn't explain it, because that'd be way too complicated / not really that important to them in this moment. Like, it doesn't matter. You guys are just programs, but
yeah, you guys are souls, but you're programs that were created, and you know, they want to, yeah. I mean, I think their whole entire world would get shook. That's like, what if we found out we were just programs? This whole realization, I mean, they have souls, right? You know, when a goblin is decimated, there's still a beautiful glow that comes off in the air, right? It's not like an ugly crimson evil glow. Right? So it's like, there is something for that, right? So maybe these are kind of all like, you know, they're on a different level. Sure. You know, so that's like, if we found out that we were just kind of AI programming that came real, because they are flesh, they bleed, they die, and they reproduce. So, you know, that is in itself life, so to speak.
We get Chandler in the chat says, Bricoli asked all the knights if they had experienced right eye pain.
Right.
I think he would be that person who's thorough enough and ask everybody and get as much information to really assess any situation that he would encounter, so that he's more informed to make better decisions instead of being rash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think he would be like, he knew his answer. I just think he wanted them to kind of get it too. He wanted to kind of prove his point by them going, oh yeah, I have had that. Oh crap. Yeah, you're right. You know, that's what it is.
Yeah. Then we get the reveal of code 871 and the words installed, and Alice doesn't know what that means. And that's when Asana goes, oh, light bulb. So wait, there's probably sabotage going on and a mole within Wrath, which is like, ooh, it's already complicated.
There's more evil afoot. There's evil being transpired on the,
It's like, oh, great. But I was like, who's on the ship still anyways? A lot of the Wrath people have died.
I was thinking the same. So it has to be a few people, right?
Yeah,
probably the most nicest one. So you're like, okay, so there's you know, probably more heartbreak is in store, more disappointments in store.
Yeah, because I was thinking of, like, who are the main ones we've encountered, and there's like four that have had dialogue. So it could be a reveal of somebody. Which, okay, we're not getting ahead. Anybody watching this, we're talking only with the dubbed one. Yes, you could have watched the subbed and know what happened. So please, no spoilers. You all do a great job of that. Of not spoiling it.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. You guys are like, I must say, you know, people are very good about not spoiling things. I mean, we'll get shout outs on Twitter, and they'll be like, this is what's coming up next. But they never really, like, it's a little recap, but never, like, they don't really get into the whole meat of it, which I love.
Yeah. No, it's very great, because it's one of those, it's been nice to watch weekly compared to binging, which is interesting, because there are episodes where I'm like, I want to hurry up and get the next episode, but
I know. Yeah. So I'm kind of like nibbling off, because I just don't want to spoil it for myself as well, and I like to go in there like very like surprised, and kind of like, I don't want to be like, you know, I don't want to make up my mind before I go into a session. I want to make sure that I have, you know, I want to be surprised. I mean, it's fun to like to kind of get an update on what's going on. I mean, I know I can kind of skip ahead and I can see what's going on right now and figure out what's going on, but it's just fun. It's fun this way.
I'm gonna get to somebody in the chat in just a moment, but you said that. Do you then only want to read slash watch the episode one at a time so you don't know what happens to your character. Like if you were in a show where something bad happens, I'm not saying something's going to for Bacoli, but right. Do you like going only one at a time than knowing later what's going to happen?
I know Bricoli's fate, but because I'm like nervous. I'm like, I was really nervous. It's like, okay, man, he's just too good. And so, you know, I just wanted to figure out what was going to go on with him. Yeah. And also for like, you know, his for a little motivation on how to like kind of, you know, play him for each episode. Mm-hmm. But every instance that, you know, of what arises, I want to be surprised, you know, like what's this battle entail? And I like to kind of like, you know, it's just because of the fact that I like to, you know, I don't like to skip ahead. I like to, yeah, for me personally, I like to be surprised. It's like, you know, who wants to open up their Christmas or Hanukkah presents before they know exactly what it is, you know? Yeah, see, exactly. So I like to shake the box a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And then like, you know, oh, that's jingle, jingle. And then like for a month, kind of like salivate as to what it could be.
So wait, you're like.
Yeah. It's like, you know? So I like a little bit of surprise when I with stuff like that.
Well, a couple people have said we've seen the mole, we just don't know who the mole is. And then so someone did use a pronoun, which I'm like, there are female people that are in the group that I'm like, hey, that narrows it down too. Don't even say if it's he or she. Because I'm like, wait, that's a spoiler. Because I would say they. We've seen them. Because you know, there's some of the girl characters. I'm like, maybe, but So this is actually a good question. So Natsu, question for you is Asuna explaining to the knights that Alice needs to go with her to the real world. How did you react to that while recording?
I was like, it can't be that simple, right? Mm. I thought there'd be more to it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay. I didn't feel like it was gonna be that simple because, you know, oh, then they can just go right then and there. You know what I'm saying? But then you still have the mission, you still have the sacrifices that other knights have made for the mission, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think Bricoli would have let her go that easy anyway. You know what I'm saying? I think that, you know, I don't know. Maybe if he knew that she'd be safe, I think ultimately he's Alice's ultimate protector. How she protects Kirito is how he protects her. So, you know, he'll lay down his life for her, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, you know, I don't think he thinks that it's that simple. So I didn't really take it like, okay, yeah, we're going to go zoom off into the world. You know, I figured there'd be more to it.
I was wondering too. I'm like, well, she doesn't really have a body on the outside. So what are we going to put her in that she can see the outside world?
I mean, they have what they call the central mainframe where all the souls are created, right? So maybe she would exist in that kind of plane, in that kind of like data plane, where all the other souls are collected once they're no longer there. I mean, there's like a...
I'm just curious how they interact then with the outside world, which we'll get to that. We're going to see. But it's like, what?
They'd be like re-sleeved or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like altered carbon.
Yes, good show. Love a show. Asuna says, I'm going to join your fight. There's no need to hurry up and get you out because the bad guys are already here. And it's interesting because I like the Alice, little bit of a power move. She goes, okay, yes, you're joining. But hey, everybody, we were good and we were doing this before she got here. So calm down.
Right.
We can still do this. So I appreciated her rallying the troops.
Yeah. And she kind of takes a flank, right? Bricoli, you notice that. You notice that Bricoli kind of set back and Alice was the one who kind of took that leadership role, you know? Bricoli was sort of like in back, like, you know, handle your kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he knows what she can do. And it's true. Like, this is their world. Regardless if there's a real world or not, that's their real world. And so that world is real. You know, I think that at that point, it's basically like it's a different plane of existence at that point.
And then... So the end, we get the kind of comedic bit of slumber party and Kirito harem.
I mean, yeah. I don't, you know what, dude? Those girls are way too strong to be in a harem. I call it the Kirito fan club. The Kirito fan club pillow party. That's what I call it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the dudes, like, you know, they come in there. Homeboy obviously has some mad charm, is very strong. And,
yeah.
You know, obviously. I mean, I was like, at the end of the episode, I was like, damn. Because, you know, I thought it was like, you know, I thought it was Asuna and just, you know, and Alice. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. He has, like, you know, he did mentor.
They showed up and then Lena showed up. And they're like, yeah. Wait, oh, I saw you. I'm glad. I was happy to see Lena again. So we have his, like, previous instructor.
Yeah.
And we're going to share Kirito stories. I'm like, oh, you're going to have a pillow fight and braid your hair too?
You know what I'm saying? They're going to paint. They're going to, like, they're going to sharpen swords and freaking, like, you know. They're going to freaking sharpen. They're going to do push-ups and they're going to like, and they're going to do burpees. They're going to slap each other around. Like, no, you didn't.
I feel Austin is like, oh, please tell me more about what he's done.
Yeah. There was that aspect, right? Mm-hmm. It was sort of like a little brain of like, okay, let's do this then. It was a little bit like, all right, let's figure out what's up.
Yeah. So that was that fun standoff where, so you had kind of mentioned it. Yeah. The moment where Alice and Asuna are like, Alice tells Asuna, okay, well, how do you know him? And like, how much could you really know? And Asuna's like, oh, yeah. Well, I was his friend for 2 years. We've dated for over a year and we lived together for 2 weeks, which is kind of cute. Like, okay. Yeah. But aren't they living together now? I thought they're living together now before this happened.
I was like, well, I mean, but then it was sort of like, you show me yours, I'll show you mine kind of thing. Like, where you're just like, you know, oh, yours is that way? Well, check out this, you know, look at this fact. And, yeah. You know, to Alice, you know, I'm like, yeah, you knew him when he was well, but do you know him when he's been in comatose state? And when you've, like, saved his butt? And when you freaking, like, and when you've really put on the line, have you, you know, you have to look at that too. Like who's sacrificed, who's fallen in love when he's not the most perfect being, when he's not walking and talking. Like she's kind of fallen in love with who he generally really is, right? And it's not even her nature to love like that. So I mean, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, no, Sarah in the chat said she meant the cabin arc in Einkrad. Yeah, no, I knew that. I just kind of assumed they were already living together in the real world too.
Right.
Because I'm like, wait, they're old enough, right? But
yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, hey, how old are they, by the way?
Now, with how long we've been with them, they were more like their early 20s, but they're probably still like 17.
they're like we're 18, man. We're adults now. Cool.
Yeah. Well, Chandler in the chat says, not yet IRL, so not yet real life. Well,
right.
They've had a long bond, and Alice gets her moment and said, well, I've lived with him 6 months. And I think it's nice because they're having this tension. But then you get the super innocent Ronnie show up and be like, oh, he did these things for me. And I think that just kind of made it, all right, this is not a competition. This is a appreciation of this character.
Yeah.
Actually,
Sarah says they're 17 to 18.
Yeah, okay. I thought they were more like 22 and 21.
That's what we're telling ourselves, because in this life, you know, I could have.
Anime. They're always younger than you think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing too that's interesting, I just kind of thought about it, is the way they're sharing stories almost feels like a celebration of life, like a funeral. Like, let's share good stories about him because he's not who he was.
Right. Right. So
kind of, I think, where it went away from being a competition to, okay, we all miss who he was. Let's celebrate it and talk about it. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. I feel the same way too.
Everyone's like, no, they still live with their parents. And
yeah.
They've been through so much. I felt they were older.
I mean, they're like, you might as well be adults now. But I mean, like, I mean, they're like, they're slaying people for God's sake. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, at that point, that makes you an adult to me, in my eyes. But hey.
Right. Did you have any other thoughts on this episode? And actually, so one, any other thoughts on the episode? And then two, what was your favorite line or moment in this episode?
Oh, God. You know, I love...
No pressure.
I mean, my favorite line is like with the line that they're playing for the promo, like, you know, two gorgeous flowers in bloom. So yep. you know, so gorgeous, so dangerous. I just, mm-hmm. even when I had such fun time saying that line, it was just like, it's really like, you know, you just, you know, it's just very like, ooh, yeah, you know, just like, you just admiring, just like raw power. So I love saying that line. And I also loved when Alice says, you know, no, when Asuna goes, he's mine. Like she kind of flashed, like she kind of rah. Like it's just like, you know, she was like, at first she was like really controlled. And then she's like, all of a sudden, like, Alice was like, oh, no, you can't talk to him without my permission. She's like, girl, he's mine. Like, you know what I'm saying? I love that kind of set off the whole entire thing, you know, and that, and I love how she was kind of like being respectful. And then she knows who this is, right? She's like, oh, yeah. Alice, you know, there's a realization. She goes, oh, hell no. I don't give a crap if you're like, you know, if you're the special person, like, you know, you won't, you know. So I love that directness, because then that put her on the level of Alice at that time for me, you know, because mm-hmm. Alice is like, you know, it's crazy strong. So
what absolutely.
Was the other question again?
Just any other thoughts on the episode? That we covered pretty much everything. I think this was definitely a really solid episode. Yeah. We could see it kind of setting up for more craziness. So a question then, though, kind of ask everybody, what are any tips you wish you could have told yourself at the beginning of your voice acting career?
Wow. Oof. That is a nice question. That is really good. You know, at the beginning of my voiceover career, you know, I started my voiceover career, and I was so fortunate enough because the first show I ever booked was an occurring role. Was an occurring role on Rescue Bots. And I played one of the main characters, Transformers Rescue Bots, and I played the main character, Boulder. And when I started there, I was so fortunate enough to work with Steve Bloom, with Maurice LaMarche, Jason Marsden, Lacey Chabert, Shannon McCain. Both me and Shannon were starting out. So it was funny because he was the nerd that kind of rode into my cockpit for Boulder. Like he was like the pilot of me. So we're both like very newbies. Parvesh China was just starting off as well. Leo Parvesh, and he's gone on to do like great things, and he's an actor on camera. LeVar Burton, I love LeVar so much, and he's just a king to me. And you know, I was so fortunate enough to get their guidance. But there was a trepidation when I first started that I was not good enough. But what I would tell my young self is that you will get good enough, and that I've always had the drive to want to be the best I can be. You know, I've never wanted to compare myself to anybody but what I can do. I just look at people's success and I'm like, I would like to kind of be in that lane. You know, I'd like to have, you know, I'd like to have successes for myself. I don't want to be like anyone else but what I can do, right? Like I met Kevin Michael Richardson. You know, I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna be honest. I'm a cartoon head. I watch my Saturday morning cartoons religiously. I was raised on cartoons, raised on like, you know, like Cartoon Network when I first started, raised on MTV, Beavis and Butthead, Ren and Stimpy, you know, Nickelodeon, Rugrats. Like I was raised on all that stuff, right? But I had never researched people's names. So I knew all the name, I knew what they can do, the Wild Thornberries. Like I knew like what they can do. But I didn't research people's names. And so as I'm meeting all these actors, I'm figuring out what they can do. You know, like I got to work with Mark Hamill. He played the professor for Rescue Bots. And then I also worked with him. He played Zola. Oh my God. I'm a Marvel nerd. I can't believe I'm like Arm Zola. Yes. On Spider-Man, and I got to act with him and all that cast. So what I would tell myself is that the more you go, the more you grow. There we go. The more you go, the more you grow, because you pick up all these little tips along the way, and along the way you pick up different tools that you can use for future projects. And I guess I would tell myself that you don't have to be in a rush to fit in. That you don't have to feel like you need to belong anywhere, because eventually you're going to work with these people again and you'll get opportunities. And the more you keep going, the more you're going to attain. So I would probably say that, like, you don't have to worry. It's going to be okay, is what I'd probably say.
Nice. What's something people take for granted about voice acting, such as, oh no, you don't have to do that, or don't forget this, or it's definitely not like that?
You know, a lot of people think that you can kind of just dive into voice acting and make a quick buck. And that's kind of something that a lot of my peers feel, you know, like there'll be people who can like, oh, I can make noises and I know how to do impersonations, which is a great aspect, right? I mean, to be able to use your voice is an essential part of being a voice actor. But, you know, you also have to invest. It's like, it's just like on-camera acting. You have to invest money. You have to invest money for classes, because you have to kind of like, you know, you have to build up your chops. I've taken various classes. I've taken workshops. I've taken different stages. You have to learn how to make a demo so that you can kind of like show people what you can do. What's a good demo? What's a bad demo? You have to invest money. It's nothing. It's not a quick thing. Like, people think that, like, and also I will add, a lot of voice actors are not rich. A lot of people think that voice actors are rolling in dough, and you know, a lot of voice actors, as we're very like, you know, fortunate to be doing something that we love. Hopefully, a voice actor is a voice actor because they love it. That's another thing. If you want to be a voice actor, don't do it because you want fame. Don't do it because, and this is with anything in life. Don't do it because you want fame. Don't do it because you want to attain some sort of status. Do it because you love it. Because if you go in there looking to be popular, you're just not going to get it. You know what I'm saying? You want to go in there. Anything you want to do, you have to love it, because you're going to have to dedicate your time. You're going to be disappointed because there's going to be lots of no's. With every accomplishment, there's been maybe like 100 no's. So with every one accomplishment, there's about 100 to 150 no's. And, you know, and no one really talks about that, because it's extremely frustrating and it's scary, you know, and to support yourself doing something that you love is scary. That's why, you know, that's why it's such a very particular field, you know, but I will say, if you have the passion and you have the drive and you want to learn and you want to build, and you're willing to invest and you're willing to be disappointed and you're willing to stay on the horse, you know, you can achieve your dream. You know, and that goes with any kind of dream you want. Whether you want to be a video game developer, an animator, if you want to start your own business, you know, you have to have faith in your ability, or else you're just not going to go anywhere. If that makes sense. Sorry, was that rambling?
Yeah, I was going to say, drop the mic. Excellent. I like that. Thank you very much for very specific and very practical and very honest and candid information about voice acting. Those are definitely things that I've heard come up before, and I think it's great for people to hear that. Thank you so, so much. We're at the end of our time. Is there any project right now that you're working on that you would like to promote, or do you have NDAs going on?
Oh my God, I got some tasty treats. Tasty treats I have in development. Oh my God, I got something really good and popping that I can't say a damn thing about. I can't even like breathe it. But you know, if you you don't even have to follow me, but if you check in with me on Amari Speaks on Twitter, I always announce everything on there. I'm probably going to make a fan page for Instagram. Right now it's private because I have a lot of family stuff on there, but I'm probably gonna make a fan page too. God, what do I have right now that is like that's about to air? Spider-Man, if you look at Spider-Man, the recent current Spider-Man, which is on Disney Plus, I play one of my favorite villains in Marvel, the Regent, which is like one of my favorite villains on Marvel, because he's just so nasty. But I played two episodes of him with my friend Robbie Damon, who plays Spider-Man, and it was just a big, big, big treat to do that one. And I have what else is gone? Also, Grand Crest, Shield Grand Crest. Hold on. You know what? It's so funny that I have to even look at my IMDb to even see what the hell I've done. It's so crazy. Anyway, look at me for Spider-Man right now. It's on Disney Plus, and let me know what you think. I thought he was a badass.
On Twitter, so we can see your other updates.
Yeah. And when the new stuff comes up, when I can actually talk. Oh, and if you play Fortnite, I play this crazy guy named Crackshot, and also this guy named Cloakstar. So if you guys play, is there any Fortnite players out there? You know, play my character, play with me.
Well, again, thank you so, so much for talking with me about the show. It was super fun, and get your input and some really good knowledge in there for sure.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is great. I love to just, you know, run my mouth. Anyone who knows me will tell you that. So I appreciate it.
And thank you to everybody who watched and joined in the live chat. If you're watching it later, make sure to give you a thumbs up, comment down below, and we'll be back next week with another episode and another guest. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And also go check out the official Sword Art Twitter, which is Sword Art on Sword Art Online. Sword Art USA is the official Twitter, as well as go check out ABTV Anime, which is there's a AfterBuzz's Twitter anime Twitter channel. Yeah. Thank you again for watching, listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.